Blog Talk Radio.
Going to be talking about today, so let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun, Sun 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight. We're back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should. Also, what's going on, Stacey White, T. Carrie Wright, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill, Care Bear, Shirley Show, the world most precious and greatest pearl in the world. How y'all feeling? I'm glad y'all came through today. So we got something that we have to talk about. Now, last night, we were talking about the whole Roe versus Wade. I tried to say Roe v. Wade. Didn't work out, but we're going to get it together. We're going to get it together. For me, it's still early, y'all. Yeah, I mean, I just woke up because I had to work. Y'all know I work at night. But anyway, so when we start talking about what we were discussing last night with the whole Roe v. Wade thing, you know, and how black women in particular were taking it as a particular, a specific attack on them. And I thought about this whole thing because I'm very familiar with the inception of this whole Roe v. Wade thing and how it came to become the law of the land and the patience, tenacity, and really doggedness of the GOP to keep pushing this issue until they finally got it done. And that's what a lot of people don't want to understand. They did not rest on their laurels. What they didn't do was say, all right, well, we lost that battle 50, 60 years ago, and we're just going to have to accept that. We're going to eat that. That's not what they did. And that's not what they do. That's not what they do. I'm not a member of the Republican Party. I don't support what they do, but I watch what they do. And one thing that Democrats need to learn from them, one thing that they really need to learn from them is that, number one, they are not the majority. They are the minority. If every registered Democrat votes and every registered Republican votes, then Democrats win every single time in national elections. Every single time, because they own the majority. But here's what the Democrats do that Republicans don't do. Democrats say, well, they're more us than them, so we're going to win every time. So we don't have to try as hard. All we have to do is try around election day, and once we get elected, everything will be okay. And then once election day is over, Democrats disappear. They stop trying, they stop fighting, they stop advocating, they stop lobbying, they stop doing everything that they did in order to win. And it's noticeable. Even members of the Democratic Party, they say, well, dang, you got our votes and then you didn't do nothing. You stopped fighting. You stopped winning too. Every time, there's a Democratic president, we lose the midterm election. Now, you can say that, well, Republicans lose midterm elections also. It's true, but it's not because of lack of effort. Normally, it's because they have a president that's so bad, so controversial, that of course they're going to lose midterm elections. Democrats lose midterm elections because we get lazy. We get fat, lazy, and lethargic and just think, it would be okay. Who would want that? Ain't nobody going to vote for that. And what happened? And that's exactly what happened with this Roe v. Wade thing. Republicans kept pushing and pushing and pushing. They said, I don't care if it's the law. I don't care if the Supreme Court did this. We're going to put one piece of the puzzle together, step by step, one by one, brick by brick, and eventually we're going to get this thing overturned. And that's exactly what happened. Democrats didn't think it could be done. They rested. They chilled. They were pretty much like the hare instead of the tortoise. Republicans are always the tortoise. Slow and steady, winning races. Slow and steady. Everybody's counting me out. Everybody's making it seem like we're just a bunch of dummies. Like, okay, you'll see. They understand. Now, what did Robert De Niro say in what was that movie about Elliot Ness? The Untouchables. What did Robert De Niro say in The Untouchables? He said, well, you got an all-out prize fight. The two guys are slugging it. When the smoke clears, there's only one guy left standing, and that's how you know who won. I'm paraphrasing it. I can't remember exactly how the quote went, but it was right, spot on, right and exact. So fast forward to Roe v. Wade. The Republicans won that. And it's not going to be, you think they waited all these years in order to get that thing overturned? You think they're going to allow it to just get turned back real quick? Don't work that way. We're going to have to eat that for a minute. And that's only the first leg of it. There are going to be other things that are overturned too. All my welfare recipients, y'all better watch out. Because if they got this done, you think they won't be able to get welfare eradicated? All right. I dared Republicans to end Roe v. Wade. Well, they took that dare. But now you have to live with the fallout. We can get into that. We can get more into that. Little Candy Cake, thanks for coming through. Thanks for coming through. Said, I didn't know you were light-skinned. Shit, I didn't either. You got me wondering. Hold on. Let me see what this camera's. I got my face covered as far as what I can see. That's light-skinned? You know what I know. I'm a lot darker than I've been in ever, especially for this time of year. But good looking out. Thanks for coming through. Appreciate it. So, all right. So fast forward to Roe v. Wade, and then fast forward to this All Lives Matter thing in which we're talking about today. All Lives Matter. Now, I'm not a supporter of Black Lives Matter because I understand fully what Black Lives Matter stands for and what they portray themselves to stand for. Like Black Lives Matter, the organization. I'm not talking about the word Black Lives Matter. Like I was telling y'all in the beginning of this show, branding is everything. Branding is everything. They don't just put things out there for you to think about, for you to consider, so you can improve yourself and make your life better and figure things out. They don't give a shit about you, Black man, woman, and child. They don't. Shoot, they don't really care about white people either. Nowadays, it's all about this money. And when we talk about branding, we talk about money. So when we're talking about Black Lives Matter, we're definitely talking about money and we're definitely talking about branding. BLM, branding. People who donate big money, big checks to BLM. And whoever donates that money, whoever funds that organization is the one that runs it. So there's no, when you understand that, there's no question about how come they push the gay agenda so much with Black Lives Matter, because that's who's paying for it. And a lot of Black people don't know and don't understand about Black Lives Matter, the organization. They don't understand what their agenda is. They don't advocate for Black men. And that's crazy when you consider that there would be no Black Lives Matter if it wasn't for Black men getting killed. Yes, you can say like, yeah, well, Sandra Bland and what's her name? The one that got killed the same year as George Floyd. I'm sorry that her name is skipping my mind right now. I got a little brain fart going on. I apologize for that. It's something with a T to Tiana. Is it Tiana? Why do I want to say Tiana? And my dumb ass wants to say Tiana Taylor. Like, no, that's a singer. Ain't nothing happening, huh? Anyway, the bottom line is there have been way more unarmed Black men that have been killed by police, been killed in racially motivated killings and things like that. So whereas we had to put it out there that Black Lives Matter because many people treat black people as if our lives don't matter, as if we don't count, as if there shouldn't be any respect for our existence. That's how we've been treated historically in this country. But when you get to the Black Lives Matter mission statement, and let me see. I normally keep it on hand when I transfer phones. I normally transfer it over. So let me see if I have the, here we go. Here we go. This is the original Black Lives Matter mission statement. Because if you go on their website now, you'll see a big difference between their original mission statement and after they got found out by some people and they had to switch it up and make it look a little better. They had to make it look a little better because they was looking real suspect and shicey and shady about this. It wasn't looking good. Once a few people found out, like, wait a minute. This thing don't have nothing about black men in it. Has a lot about single mothers. Has a lot about transgender, queer, all that old gay stuff. It has things in there about black children. But when it comes to the black male, the black man, well, men, period, it seems to be against, but particularly black men, because if you're going to put black in the title, how you going to leave black men out? Well, I'm going to read it to y'all and show you exactly how they did it and why we need to have a show called What It Means When All Lives Matter. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I want to thank y'all for coming through. Make sure that y'all hit that like button. If you haven't hit the like button, make sure that y'all share the show. And make sure that you subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, I'd appreciate it very much. All right, so here's the original Black Lives Matter mission statement. The original. Okay, it says, the Black Lives Matter Global Network is a chapter-based, member-led organization whose mission is to build local power and to intervene in violence inflicted on black communities by the state and vigilantes. We are expansive. We are a collective of liberators who believe in an inclusive and spacious movement. Inclusive. I don't know if y'all understand what they said just in that part when they said that it's inclusive. Now, you're going to have, the name of your organization is called Black Lives Matter, but already you've abandoned that by saying that it's inclusive. Well, let's find out who they include. All right. We are expansive. We are a collective of liberators who believe in an inclusive and spacious movement. We also believe that in order to win and bring as many people with us along the way, we must move beyond the narrow nationalism that is all too prevalent in black communities. I don't know if you understand what they just said. We also believe that in order to win and bring as many people with us along the way, we must move beyond the narrow nationalism that is all too prevalent in black communities. Narrow nationalism. Black nationalism, which is what they have to be talking about, is narrow. Narrow-minded. So the name of your organization is called Black Lives Matter, but you're not interested in black nationalism. I don't know if y'all are hearing what I'm reading. And I'm sorry that I'm taking too long to read this, but this is important. Because like I said, this is their original mission statement. The original. I'm talking about going all the way back to the Trayvon Martin days. They've changed this mission statement because some people called them on it. Well, Black Lives Matter, if you don't know, is not the same Black Lives Matter as it was when those three or four ladies, what was it? When those four ladies developed it. Okay, let's go. All right. Okay. We must move beyond the narrow nationalism that is all too prevalent in Black communities. We must ensure we are building a movement that brings all of us to the front. I don't know what they mean or who they mean by all of us, but I can guess. Okay. We affirm. Here is where I need y'all to listen. Listen close, please. We affirm the lives of Black, queer, and trans folks, disabled folks, undocumented folks, folks with records, women, and all Black lives along the gender spectrum. If you affirm the lives of all Black lives along the gender spectrum, why did you have to point out women? Because you specifically say women. I know what you didn't specifically say. Men. No mention of man. No mention of a man here. We affirm the lives of Black, queer, and trans folks, disabled folks, undocumented folks, folks with records, women, and all Black lives along the gender spectrum. Our network centers those who have been marginalized within Black liberation movement. I don't know if you understand. Maybe I don't understand what I just read. Our network centers those who have been marginalized within Black liberation movement. What I'm reading, what I'm getting, and y'all please correct me if I'm wrong, if maybe I'm reading too deeply into this, or if I'm emotionally reading it instead of logically reading it. But what I hear when I read our network centers those who have been marginalized within Black liberation movement, what I hear is, I'm not talking about outsiders who have demonized us for being who we are. We're talking about us who have demonized us. It says marginalized within. Within Black liberation movements. We're talking about infighting. So you need a Black Lives Matter movement to teach those who are affected by Black Lives Matter or Black Lives not mattering to those. You need to point out our infighting in your mission statement. That's what you want to do? Well, I think that there's a reason that they're doing it that way. And we're going to get into that. Real deep into that, you know what I'm saying? This thing on? When I pluck this, am I hearing a pluck here? Because I changed the mic to this Blue Yeti. Y'all know I change the mics every now and then. Blow the dust off of this one. And I also changed the way that the mic, do y'all hear the pluck, the good pluck? All right. We are working for a world where Black lives are no longer systematically targeted for demise. We affirm our humanity, our contributions to this society, and our resilience in the face of deadly oppression. The call for Black Lives Matter, for Black Lives to Matter, is a rallying cry for all Black lives striving for liberation. I don't know about y'all, but it really concerns me that there was no mention of black men in this whole mission statement. And you're not going to tell me that that wasn't on purpose, because the people who developed Black Lives Matter and the people who run Black Lives Matter are not stupid. Those women were very intelligent. And when they pretty much turned it over, because the original creators or developers or founders of Black Lives Matter are no longer there. It's a whole different thing now. Big business. They're getting big money. And they only focus on national events. They don't, you're not going to see Black Lives Matter coming out because Pookie around the way got shot by the cop. Unless Pookie from around the way, unless somebody take Pookie from around the way getting shot by the cops unarmed, and now it's national news, then they coming out. Here comes Reverend Al Sharpton. You know Al Sharpton don't do the little knickknacks. He only comes out. He's such a pawn for MSNBC. It should be irking the hell out of me. But when we start talking about All Lives Matter, well, first of all, let me not get off of Black Lives Matter yet. I wanted to read that mission statement and bring some awareness to those of y'all who don't know or don't think it matters the way that mission statements are written up, the way that messages are conveyed, and the way that certain things are displayed to you. Some people think that it doesn't matter as long as you get the message out, as long as there's visibility. And our people get caught up in that way too much. We get caught up in the whole, well, you know, let's not get bogged down with the petty details. What matters the most is that we're bringing awareness to what's going on. So I look at things like when Colin Kaepernick was doing the kneeling thing, you know, and everybody was singing his praises and talking about how he should be chosen as a quarterback. He should be picked up as a free agent and little light skin, little candy cake says, I'm reading, my arms are light skin. My legs too. I don't know what happened with my face recently. Like, there's something going on. Man, this is my arms and my legs are my original color. You know what I mean? Somehow my face has gotten blackened and whatever. You know what I'm saying? Trust me, I've tried to figure it out. Like, what's going on here? What we doing? What we doing? All right. Anyway. Yeah, with Colin Kaepernick, we were running around, kneeling, talking about how he should be picked up as a free agent, how I'm not like that. I'm still Carmel Brown. I'm not like that. You know what I mean? I know light skin when I see it. My daddy's like that. My sister's like that. but we're running around talking about something. All he did was kneel, and we should get behind him, and we should try to, you know, here we are fighting for this man to get his job back. Meanwhile, we wouldn't fight for our next-door neighbor or our cousin or anybody else to get their job back. But we fighting for a multi-millionaire to get his job back. Somebody who's making, you know, $15, $20 million a year. We fight for them to get their job back. Meanwhile, here we are struggling. Most of us are struggling with a five-figure salary. But, you know, he's bringing awareness to police brutality, because the world doesn't know that black people be getting their ass beat up and their heads beat in. Who don't know that? Who doesn't know that? We didn't need him to do that. And all the while, Mr. Kaepernick was getting paid by Nike. Little did we know. And people swept that under the rug like, well, so what? He had to eat. You know, he had to have income. So what's wrong with Nike getting involved? Well, why weren't you transparent about that? If it didn't matter, if it wasn't a big deal, why the lack of transparency? Why didn't we find it out until everything was all said and done? Why is it why didn't we find out until you got a settlement from the NFL? You're the only one who got paid. All lives matter, didn't it? We were the only ones. He was only kneeling for black people, right? He wasn't kneeling for all lives or all people who all unarmed people who were assaulted by the police. It was a black thing because he's black. So why did he have to conceal that he was getting paid the whole time? I suspect that it was because he knew and his agents knew that if everybody found out that he was getting a check along the way, then they wouldn't afford for him to get a check along the way. Know what I'm talking about? So yeah, it became an all lives matter thing rather than a Black Lives Matter thing. By the way, if y'all would like to call in, add y'all 2 cents, talk about what we're talking about today, what it means when all lives matter, I invite y'all to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. Oh, get your shine, baby. Yeah, 319-527-6199. Press number 1 and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and we can rock out, rock on and do the damn thing. All right, so, like I was saying, what it means when all lives matter, and like, movements like the whole Colin Kaepernick kneeling and NFL and all of that kind of stuff. You had black people boycotting the NFL as if they were the cops who were beating us up and all that kind of stuff. The focus was messed up. And that's how it became all lives matter instead of a Black Lives Matter. So we're the ones taking all the punishment. We're the ones getting our heads beat in. We're the ones being killed. We're the ones leaving our children left without any parents, brothers left without any sisters left without any brothers. We're the only ones who were going through that. Yet, everybody else benefited from it. And I don't know about y'all, but I take issue with that. In short, I'm going to tell y'all this. All lives matter means that black lives are not the focus anymore. When it becomes all lives matter, it means that Black Lives Matter has become a byproduct. When all lives matter crosses over from Black Lives Matter, that means that there's a whole lot more money involved. It has become more commercial. If you don't believe that, look at the revenue reports from for Black Lives Matter in 2013, and look at Black Lives Matter after George Floyd. Now you could say, yeah, but when George Floyd got killed, blah 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 blah. You know how many people got killed on camera leading up to George Floyd? On camera. George Floyd happened in 2020. What was the bull in California who got killed? Was it California? So many people had gotten, when Facebook Live came out, man, people were getting killed on Facebook Live left and right. It was ugly. TK Wright says, I take it seriously. I hope you do. Because this is the branding. The branding, it matters. When it's all, when it becomes an all lives matter thing, that means that black man, woman, and children, you ain't getting shit no more. Because everybody, this happens to everybody. It's not just you. It happens to everybody. All lives matter. All lives were not mattering when we were getting, when we were exclusively being targeted, being hurt, being killed, being ignored, being oppressed, or being incarcerated. It wasn't all lives matter then. Speaking of incarceration, I don't know if y'all know, but there are actually more white people in jail than black people. Just in terms of sheer numbers, there are more white people in jail than there are black people. But there are more white people in the majority of the population. So the numbers that of people that they have incarcerated does not affect their communities the way that black people, who are said to be a very small portion of the population, does. See, black people are only supposed to have comprised about 12 or 13% of the U.S. population, yet we make up 41% of the prison population. 41%. So there are only this many people in the population, but in the prison population, we represent this many people. So our sons, our daughters, our boys, our girls, our mothers, our sisters, our mothers, our friends, our coworkers, our classmates are all affected by having especially black males removed from society. Now, of course, you can say that there are things that we have done in order to ensure our incarceration, but if you ever studied the legal system, you'll see that there are a lot more, way too many black men who should not be serving the lengthy sentences that they are serving. But they couldn't afford legal counsel, so they had to take a public defender, and the public defender encouraged them to just take a deal. Take the deal. Take the deal, sir. Take the deal. You know you did it anyway. They're offering you this deal. 5 to 7, take the deal. 10 to 15, take the deal. 20 to life, take the deal. Life without parole, take the deal. It could have been the death penalty. Take the deal, sir. What was this book I read that really outlined that? There was this book that I read that really talked about that. What's the name of, not Audible, what's the name of the Kindle books? Kindle. Do I have that on this phone? I know I got it on some phone. Kindle. I need to tell y'all the name of this book because it was an interesting book. And it showed, okay, there we go, Kindle. Boom. Right there. Right there. Right there. All right, from my library. Okay, it was called, the name of the book was called Ordinary Justice, How America Holds Court by Amy Bach. Amy Bach is a white woman, but, and she wasn't just talking about black people, but, of course, she was talking about incarceration, so most of the people that she was talking about were black. Once again, the name of this book was called Ordinary Justice, How America Holds Court. If y'all want to look up the book, if you have a Kindle account, you know, Amazon, you know what I mean. Ordinary Justice, How America Holds Court. Ordinary Justice, How America Holds Court by Amy Bach. If you want to look up the, let me put it in the comment. Let me put it up in there. Look, Carol Chamberlain, mi favorita has come through. Let's see. Ordinary Justice. How America Holds, by Amy Bach. I read this book years ago, about maybe 6, 7, at least 5 years ago. And there was another book that I read called On the Run by Alice Kaufman. Alice Goffman. And I tried to get her to come on the show. I wrote her, and she didn't, she never responded. Because it was a very interesting book. And anyway, Ordinary Justice. That's the book I want y'all to focus on, because it showed vividly, candidly, and explicitly how public defenders, encourage litigants and encourage the accused to just take deals, when if they would have fought their cases, the outcomes could have become much different, because they didn't have evidence to incarcerate them. There was just no evidence there, but they took the deal. The DA didn't care. Their job is to get convictions, and that was their way of getting them. We're saving the taxpayers' money. By not having to have all of these trials. Plea bargains. All lives matter. All lives matter happens when black lives stop mattering as much. Robbie Ming, my big sis doing a thing. What's going on, man? Thanks for coming on through. It's only all lives matter when black lives stop mattering. As black people, what we really need to do is stop abandoning our struggle before we finish it. We don't finish anything. And for Carol and Robin, that's what I was talking about earlier in the show. I was talking about how one of the reasons that the Republicans were able to get Roe v. Wade overturned was because they never stopped. They never stopped fighting for it. Democrats been gave up that fight. Well, they stopped defending it on the level that it really needed to be. That's why we're always talking about overturning things like Obamacare, because they just rest up like, nope, the Supreme Court said that it's the law of the land, nothing you can do about it once it's the Supreme Court. Oh yeah? Well, once the faces start changing in the Supreme Court, look what happened. Look what happened. Roe v. Wade got overturned because the Supreme Court justices who cared about overturning it got in there. That's something Democrats won't do. They want to act like pussies when it comes to fighting hard. When it's time to knock somebody out, they don't want to do it. They want to win on points. Like, you know, we don't want to look bad in front of everybody. We don't want to look like, you know, we don't want to sling no mud. We just want to slap box. We don't want to knock nobody out. Just slap box. Peekaboo style. No. We want to win on points. That ain't going to get it. The Republicans got Roe v. Wade overturned because they would not stop. Administration after administration after administration after administration. They kept pushing it. They wasn't joking. It turned over. Their agenda, their goals were clear. And they rolled over from one administration to another administration, from one generation to another generation to another. They did not stop. And Democrats don't understand that. They don't understand, and they don't understand knocking somebody out all the way, stomping them, basically shooting them dead. They don't get that. They want truth and justice to win. Fucking GOP don't give a fuck about no truth and justice. They give a shit about the Constitution. But, you know, the Constitution was written without black people or any other people besides white males in mind. They didn't. So, of course, they want to go by the Constitution. The Democrats, they just want to be like, yeah, well, you know, they don't even have the balls to say that God wants it that way. Republicans be like, no, the Lord wants it this way. So that's why we don't feel any remorse about fighting to the death. God wants us to fight to the death with this. And he has our back. Democrats want to be like, well, you know, when it comes to God, we don't know. You know, the Bible sort of says that gay people are wrong and, you know, serial killers are wrong. And unless they do it with a gun, the serial killers are, yeah, they are wrong when they do it with an assault weapon. But other than that, you know, they, yeah. All lives matter. Yeah, all lives matter when black lives don't matter as much. Just know when you see all lives matter or when you start seeing other people being included in the black struggle, just know that now the money is there, but ain't no black people going to get shit. There's going to be a whole lot of awareness, but there ain't going to be no litigation. There ain't going to be there's not going to be any change in with policy, not policy. But yeah, it's policy, but I'm talking about in as far as the laws are concerned. There's a word that I use all the time, but it's escaping me right now. There ain't going to be none of that. So yeah, the Asians got their protection bill, and black people still haven't gotten theirs. They ain't going to get it either. You know why? Because the Asians didn't allow this all lives matter. All Asians matter. It's not even all Asians that matter. Only the Chinese chinky ones. They ain't talking about no Afghans. They're not talking about no Pakistanians. They're not talking about no Iraqis
or Iranian. They're not even talking about Eastern Indian. All of those places are in Asia. They are not in some kind of Middle East. No, they're in Asia. But only the Chinky Asians matter. So they got their protection bill. Black men, women, and children, y'all been getting crosses burned on your lawn, you know, iconic figures being shot, killed, dragged out of their homes, beaten, displayed, all those shit. No protection bill for you. And y'all been fighting for that shit since Reconstruction, since right after the Civil War. Since before Juneteenth and after Juneteenth. So we're talking about since 1865. So we're basically talking about just about 160 years. You like that? You good? When it's all lives matter, it means that black lives don't matter. You just another feather in the cap. You're just another, you know, liberals don't want you to think that way, though. All lives do matter, because we can help you. You haven't helped shit, and you're not going to. It has just become a money game. All money. Well, we have a caller on the line. I think you're going to like this. If nothing else, it'll be interesting, because it always is. Caller with the last number, 6606. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sunny Show. Wait a minute, hold on. I don't know. All right, well, let me bring him on. Let me see. I don't know what it is about this lawsuit. All right, there we
go. You got it, Joe. You got it. How you doing?
All right, are you there? All right.
Good.
What's going on? How hard?
I'm okay. I called in a couple of days ago. I kind of almost withdrew my hand because I think you've been on a rampage the whole week. It seems as though, you know, you don't like white people too much anymore. So I was kind of scared to call in, you know, because you might say, Joe, I like your calling in, but... you got to get the F out of here. You know what I mean? So,
well, you know, I'm glad you said it that way because it could be construed as such. But the thing is, you know, facts are facts. You know what I mean? Like, individually, I'm cool with anybody. But sometimes when 100 or 1,000 people get together, they fuck shit up. So,
well,
that's true. You personally, me and you would probably get along famously, but a few thousand of you,
Wait a minute. Now, I'm not going to deny that there's prejudice in the United States. I'd like to have a debate about whether or not there's actually what's called systemic racism in the United States. As a matter of fact, I'd like to invite you to come to a show that I go to every Saturday, which is today, and I think I've invited you to the show before. It's about conservatives mainly who show up, and you know, you can give a point of view which is different than the conservatives. I'm a libertarian, so I'm different than their points of view at times, you know. But systemic racism, the everyday racism, absolutely, you know. But the systemic racism, which I think you're alluding to, you know, which is causing all the problems which you're talking about, I don't think that exists to the extent that a lot of people believe that it does.
Okay.
You know. But I could be wrong. But, you know, people do state statistics on both sides of the argument. But what is it that, you know... Because you're usually apolitical, you know. You don't talk about politics. You talk about everyday stuff that affects us as, you know, as human beings every day on your show.
Right.
So how come this week you know, you know, it's just like, you know, white people don't like them.
Well,
I'm not saying you shouldn't like them. Yeah.
Well, it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with what I like. What I like more than anything else is I like justice. I like truth, and I like understanding. So my way of getting to that may be exclusive. It may exclude some people, and the same people that it excludes may include them, because when you take things like the law is what it is. But we also know that, you know, how they say it's not what you know is who you know.
Right.
Well, I take it a little bit farther than that. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. Because we all know who the president, who all the presidents of the United States were, but we ain't going to be able to get them to do shit for us personally unless they knew who we are. So when you have a bunch of people who have developed something, put something together, founded something, it stands to reason that they are going to have a certain type of camaraderie that is going to make sure that they are all taken care of. I don't have a problem with that. The problem becomes the way that you explained it was that everybody is going to benefit from this. And you know damn well you've been doing everything to make sure that only certain people benefit from it. Now, when you say that you don't think that systemic racism exists to the extent that the media may make it seem like it does, I can understand why you as a white guy would feel that way. If
I don't say I'm white. I say I'm a non-melanated person. So
okay,
I like to make
I'm
that kind of
right. I'm saying you're right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so,
all right.
So,
all right.
Know,
for the sake of argument, let's. Okay, fine. Okay.
Okay, and that's cool.
All right.
You know, the fact that you consider yourself to be non-melanated lets me know that you have a certain amount of understanding that I can respect. You know what I mean? At least there's a certain willingness to hear, understand. Try to maybe even empathize on some levels. So where I'm going with this is this. I wouldn't expect you to be part of those conversations where black people are being systematically excluded from certain things, or when laws are developed to make sure that black people are going to be targeted or demonized or not be able to benefit.
The second part of your system, yes. The first part, I mean, of your statement, yes. The first part, mm-hmm. I believe in inclusion and exclusion. I believe if you do not want a white person to come to your neighborhood, because that's just open space. But let's say to your club, your house, your parties, your barbecues, your theaters, you have the right to exclude white people, like white people have the right to exclude. I believe in that. I believe in inclusion and exclusion, as long as it's voluntary. But the second part of your statement, I agree with it. The law should not segregate nor integrate, because when you have politicians trying to take control of our lives, they're going to fuck things up.
Okay. You're right. We have to remember that politics is all about money. It doesn't have anything to do with people. So whatever is going to bring in the most money is the way that they're going to go. It's pretty cut and dry when you understand that. And most of us as citizens don't understand that shit. We really think that these guys are either wear black hats or white hats. And I mean that as far as being good guys or bad guys. And they're all bad guys or they're all good guys when you understand what their goals are. It's just to bring the money in. You know, we're going to get this cash. But, okay. But the law.
And if you came to my show, everybody on the panel would agree with it. My show, but Donnie's show. But everybody.
It's all about money.
It's all about money, power, and greed. Yeah.
Okay, good. As long as they understand that, that's fine. Now, although it's all about money, power, and greed, it gets personal because there are people who personally are, you know, have investments in that money, power, and greed. And their emotions to be able to include others or exclude others is going to be mixed all up in there. I mean, it's no secret that friends help out friends. Friends do things for friends. Friends also do things to their enemies. So, of course, I'm going to do something for you if I like you. And I'm going to do something to you if I don't like you. Now,
right.
as far as the law is concerned, as far as inclusion and exclusion is concerned, individually, personally, yes, if I don't like you, I don't have to include you. Personally. However, professionally, it does not work that way. Politically, it does not work that way. But politically, it has been written directly into real estate deeds and contracts that black people cannot live here. It's been written in.
I didn't know that.
What?
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that. I didn't know it was as blatant as that, except during Jim Crow days. But I didn't know, you know, like, say, 2007, 2008, when they had the real estate crash. I don't know if that's, you know, those are the... Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, when you think about the Constitution, right, they never changed the Constitution. They amended, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Same thing, though.
So it's not the same thing, because that means that they kept the laws on the books officially, but they amended it to include some things or lighten up on some things. The original laws are still there. They can also amend the amendment, right?
And the Constitution has to go through a whole process. And when something is amended, it means it's altering that particular law that was in the original Constitution, which means that it's changed.
That's right. And so it is changed, but it's changed temporarily because you can amend an amendment. In other words, you can change what you changed already. Yeah, and actually that makes sense on some levels, because there was a certain or particular interest at mind or at heart when the original Constitution was constructed. Now,
well, yeah. I heard you, and I agree with you. I mean, white people, you had to be a white property owner. You had to be a white male. Blacks, of course, were not considered. Neither were the Chinese. Chinese were treated almost as badly as blacks. As a matter of fact, you heard the expression, a coolie, you got as much of a chance as a coolie's chance in hell. Something like that. And, you know. They were shot on sight if people like them at times. So yeah, people have been treated badly in the United States and in other countries. This whole world is about conflict and destruction. The whole world. And those people, and you're saying, if you're friends, you like each other, you do for each other. In politics, there's no such thing as friends. It's like the mafia. It's all about business. I'll scratch your back today. You scratch my back tomorrow. If you don't scratch my back, you're no longer my friend. So it's all about shit.
Here's the thing. You know, I hear you when you say that all around the world people have been mistreated and things like that. What hasn't happened all around the world is people losing their physical, spiritual, and national identities in order for something to happen. That is strictly a Western Hemisphere American thing. You know, like for all of the Chinese people, the Italians, the Irish and anybody else who immigrated to this country. The difference is, an Irish person has never had to change their name to a German name in order to exist. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to
but
change.
Italians
their,
did.
Italians
did
what?
Did, and the Jews changed their name. Dean Martin, for example, is not Dean Martin. He was some like.
They do it voluntarily.
Well, they do it in order to get accepted.
Don't
just change their name because they say, I don't like being Italian. They say, in order for me to be accepted in the medium that I want to go into, I have to change my name. Jews have are famous for plastic surgery so that they look like goyims. But they are, you know, they have ski noses instead of the bumpy nose.
Joe, let you know how asinine that is. And this is why I don't let Jews off the hook for this kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
On one end they tell you that they had to change their names and their appearance in order to be accepted. But guess who owned those?
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about accepted in the media, right? Because that's where they changed their names and appearances, right? But who owned
for life in general when they first came over here? Life in general.
When you start talking about you start talking about Dean Martin, when you start talking about Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh yeah, well, Dean Martin.
We're talking about in the media. But the Jews owned all of the goddamn movie studios. They didn't have to change shit. They
That's
owned every last
they came
one
over
of
here.
Huh?
That's true. Okay,
so They set a standard. They created a standard that they said they had to protect themselves from. It's bullshit. You know what I mean?
No,
a little knowledge.
I know,
them
but
up.
You're taking a look at the studios now. And back in the 20s, okay, when there was a studio
they
influence,
owned
before they had independent.
That's
I know,
when they owned the
but
studios.
That's before. They own
Metro
still today.
Goldwyn
I think it's
Mayer.
Six.
Metro Goldwyn and Mayer,
oh.
Three Jews.
I know. Oh boy, I know.
They're not gonna pull the wool over my eyes with this bullshit. They didn't have to change shit.
Oh yeah. Well, they had it. Yeah. Well, before they came over here, you're talking about other people not having to have their spiritual, physical lives taken away from them. There was the German Holocaust. There was the Armenian Holocaust. And in India, even though everybody's basically the same color, there's still a caste system over there based on color. Over in Africa, you have different tribes warring against each other. For whatever reason, who knows, right? You have the Chinese versus the Japanese. You've got the Cambodians versus the Vietnamese. You've got it all over the world. And it's, and how about the ethnic cleansing that Bill Clinton was a part of with NATO? They went over to Yugoslavia. And they divide up the country into Croatia, Serbia, and whatever the hell the other one was, based on ethnic cleansing. They all looked the same. And their culture was basically the same. It happens all over the place, all the time, though.
Yeah, it happens all over the world on a certain level, in a certain way. But what all of those places that you talked about have in common...
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't have in common was nationalism. They have their own country. When you're talking about Serbia, Croatia, Georgia, all of those were USSR territories. And then when the USSR disbanded, all of them had to learn how to fend for themselves again. You know, because they didn't have that backing, that political backing, that financial backing, the military backing. They didn't have it anymore.
Uh-huh.
They had to learn how to make it on their own again. You know, I have friends who are Ukrainian, and they're older.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, some of them, about, well, how is it better now that you're independent than it was when you were when it was the USSR? And one of them told me, she said, She said, honestly, when it was the USSR, I could eat out every night. I could afford everything, blah, 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 blah. She said, when they disbanded, yeah, then it was more of a struggle. Like, I had friends. She said that she had friends who were doctors, and, you know, they really were struggling in order to make it. Now, how were they doing better when it was communism and everybody was supposed to be getting paid the same thing? But now that it's democratic and free, now it's hard to make it. How is that? So
because of money? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But even more than that, what they kept was their sense of nationalism. What the USSR did take away from their territories was religion. Lenin, Stalin, and all of that, no God. No, there was no religion. They didn't believe in God. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, if you were a Jew, and there were a lot of Jews and still are in Europe, they had to in order to practice their religion, they had to do it underground. But that's a lot different from black people being bought and sold as property. No other race knows what that's like, to be bought and sold as property. We were chattel. Chattel means property. We were chattel slaves. So I don't care if you go all the way back to the Egyptians and all of that, they were not property. They were not bought and sold. The word slave was more synonymous with the word citizen. So you had Pharaoh and everybody else was a slave. So it's different. And when you don't study exactly how it went, it looks like, yeah, everybody was getting their asses whooped. No, they weren't. They didn't lose their identity. They didn't lose their sense of self. Many of them, most of them, only us lost our country. What country are black people from? You can say Africa. You can say Africa. Africa is a continent. Which country are we from?
Well, if you want to talk about the 150 different countries or whatever number there is in Africa,
we're not from any
of them. Could be for one.
No, we're not from any of them. That Middle Passage bullshit and transatlantic—it's all bullshit. We're from here. We were from. They took black people from South America and brought them up to North America, and they took black people from North America and brought them down to South America and told them that they were from Africa. How did they fucking know? They didn't have it. They couldn't speak the same language. They weren't from the same tribe, so they didn't know. And they wrote history in a certain type of. Listen, do you think that pirates took a month and a half long trek across the damn ocean with a cargo of hundreds of slaves, most of that would have died along the way? How often do you think they did that shit? How did the pirates themselves? How did the pirates themselves survive?
I don't know.
Well, I'm giving you something to think about.
Well,
you know,
the pirates
had
guns, so they're gonna make sure the people in the galley are going to revolt. Yeah.
How many trips
did they make? I don't know.
Forget about them revolting. They were supposed to be chained up. But how did they survive it? As far, like, what food source did they use? It took a month and a half. They didn't have refrigerators.
Well,
they didn't have electricity.
No, but they had salt, and the salt. Well, the salt preserved the fish.
Uh-huh. Okay. Go ahead.
You salinated the fish, and it lasted for a long time.
Them motherfuckers would have been dead if they were doomed.
I don't know.
I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, you're talking about the slaves, yeah, but if you're talking about the pirates, I would imagine that. They had to have fishing nets, and they stopped off in different lands, I'm sure, in order to get some food from the land.
No, they didn't stop off at any lands. Ain't no fucking land between...
Oh no! Okay.
What did they do? Get off at a rest stop in the middle of the land?
Yeah, there was a gas station that was showed up on an island, and they stopped off at a Chevron. That's how the name gets.
See, Joe, this is why I can't be mad at you personally. And this is why, that's why I say individually we good. But because I can talk to somebody like you because I can make you think. You know, we can exchange ideas. A mob of 1,000 or 100,000 white people, they ain't trying to hear that shit. All they hear is a black man
true.
Who doesn't have his bitching. That's all they hear.
I agree with you. I had a show on last Monday. It was my show because the guy that whose show I'll go to tonight, he gives me a show and I want a show, and I'm the host. It was about conflict resolution of ideas. I have to tell you, it was a shit show because I allowed too many people to talk. Yeah, the next time I have a show like that, I am in command of the mute button and will mute anybody who gets out of line because we have to do exactly what you're talking about. People have to sit down and they do have to listen, even if their ideas are exposed to them as being kind of nutty. So both people, no matter what the political ideology is, it would be good to sit down so that A will listen to B and B will listen to A, and somehow, if their egos and psyches will allow it, they'll be able to say, you know what, you got a point. But it's very hard to do that. So I agree with you on that. But again, we're going to have to go down to systemic racism too. Where is the evidence outside of them of being jailed? Because there is evidence about blacks being picked up for the same crime that whites do, and blacks getting arraigned, charged more than whites, getting jailed more and getting larger jail sentences. That also happens to men versus women. So there is evidence of that. But when it comes to redlining for credit, there's not a hell of a lot of evidence. I like to find out.
Oh, there's a lot of evidence.
Where you? I like to find out where it's written in a document in credit reports, or let's say from a bank from 1940 on, where it says specifically that black people have to be excluded from loans. I'd like to see that.
Let me ask you a simple question, and I also have a question. I also have a question in the gallery that they want to ask. Let me ask you a simple question.
I won't answer their question because I know it's going to be personal.
No, it's not
personal. Because people are always asking.
No. I think you'll be able to deal with the question. But the question I want to ask you is, if me and you have a secret. Do you think we're going to put the answer to our secret out there and for all to see and all?
No.
Okay. Then
no.
Why would you think that you're going to find easy to find evidence of redlining districts and other exclusionary tactics that people would use in order to keep this little thing of theirs going?
You've got a good point. It wouldn't be easy to find, okay? It wouldn't be easy to find any kind of documentation that specifically states the intent of white people saying, you got to keep blacks out. But you have to have then statistical evidence which shows statistical significance. In other words, if five black families are applying for a loan and five white families are applying for a loan and they all have equal credit scores, coming from about the same neighborhoods, and all five or four out of five all the time of the white people get loans and the other five don't, then that's statistical significance.
Well,
that, is what they have to go by.
There's overwhelming evidence of that, too.
I don't know if it is.
We don't have. There is. Oh, boy, is there. Yeah, there is. All right. The question in the gallery that they asked is, why doesn't Jim Crow and the KKK exist worldwide?
Jim Crow and KKK specifically does not exist worldwide, but as I talked about before, the conflicts that do exist, a lot of it is based on what they call ethnic cleansing. And it's based on caste systems, specifically in India, which is the same in all other countries. Every country has a caste system. It's either going to be by money, power, status, and the effect is the same. You can't work here. You can't get the resources. When the Irish first came over here, there were signs clearly displayed, Irish need not apply. Okay? And there were Irish slaves who were over here at the same time as there were black slaves.
You mean
people
Irish
have been,
indentured servants?
Now, I'm not talking about indentured servitude. I'm talking about Irish slaves.
There was no, there's no such thing as an Irish slave.
No such thing?
No such thing.
You're sure of that?
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure.
All right, so if you Googled it and said Irish slaves, America, circa 1860s, you would absolutely find no reports whatsoever of the Irish being enslaved.
I would find Irish slaves that were released once they paid their debt. That's exactly what I would find.
No, you wouldn't. The
yes,
slaves
I would.
That paid their debt are called indentured servitude.
And that's what the
servant.
Irish were. And that's exactly
no.
what the Irish
were. Okay. Not from what I've read.
I haven't delved deep into it. Wait, now, so you're going to tell me that there were Irish slaves born into slavery and their children born into slavery who never got out of it?
I would say that possibly a few. Like I said, I haven't delved deeply into it. I have read.
You see how tough it gets once you ask the question?
Why?
About the continuity of it. You see how tough it gets? They were not slaves. They were indentured servants.
No,
you're making it. Now,
you're making an assumption.
No, I'm
you're
not.
You're making an assumption. Wait a minute. Let me look it up. I got my cell phone right. While I'm talking,
I'm going to look it up. I'm a history buff. I'm going to give you the easy answer to the question that they asked in the gallery.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The easy answer was the reason that the KKK and Jim Crow did not exist worldwide was because the Jim Crow and the KKK were born out of the need to try to keep power and exclude black people after slavery. Other countries did not have a slave system, a chattel slave system. So there was no need to try to preserve what was left of the South after slavery. That's the easy answer.
That is a very easy answer, KKK and Jim Crow, okay? Because it's very USA specific.
It worked anywhere else. There was no need for it anywhere else. They didn't
have
black slaves anywhere else.
Oh, you had the Armenian Holocaust. Every time you have a Holocaust, you're going to have slaves, just like the concentration camps for Jews in Germany. Okay,
they didn't have.
You're going to have slaves.
What Holocaust? What are you talking about? There's no Holocaust.
All right. Okay. You know what? There's an argument that says that kind of gives evidence that there wasn't a Holocaust based upon the gas chambers. So there are people who have visited the concentration camps and said these gas chambers could not have killed 6 million people
because they
were so poorly made that the gas would have escaped and killed the guards.
They definitely did not lose 6 million people. They absolutely.
How do you know that, though? How do you?
Man,
absolutely.
Listen,
okay.
You know how I know.
How do you know that?
You know how I know they didn't.
No. No.
Because their lying asses are always blowing up numbers. Of their struggle, they always lying about shit.
Oh.
And then when you do the research, right. Then you become anti-Semitic. Get the fuck out of here! I'm not even. And they're not even Semite.
I have to say that the Jewish friends I know. Wait, you know, the Jewish friends I know. This goes from. my Jewish friend died? Wait a minute, what? What happened? I say my Irish friends, not my Irish friends, my Jewish friends and my black friends share this in common. If you don't like them, all their ideas, you're either anti-Semitic or you're racist. It could be simply because you acted like an obnoxious fuck. You know, but they don't want to admit that. It's not because somebody necessarily is anti-Semitic or racist. Am I on the air? Because I'm.
You're here.
Am I on the air? Oh, I am? Oh, okay.
Because
I'm looking it up. I'm looking up on Google Irish slaves in the United States, in America. And
hurry
sometimes
up.
When I do
here.
Research.
You got 90 seconds.
Oh, good go. Yeah, that's really good. That's giving me a hell of a lot of time.
That's right. We already,
I can't even type that fast. Jesus Christ. 90
it's
seconds.
All right.
I have to do
the most important thing.
No,
the most important thing.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that you find out for yourself. You know what I mean? But listen, one thing that I do is I look up the meaning of certain terms and I research whether they make sense or not. You know, the Jews are always, they have this cancel culture thing going on. Well, yeah, if you say anything bad about them or anything derogatory or anything that they disagree with, then if they're paying you, they're going to make sure that you don't get paid anymore. That's the one. That's the one reason they can't they can't cancel me is because they're not paying me. You understand what I mean? So the other thing is when they say that you're anti-Semitic because you don't speak highly of Jews. Well, they're from Europe. They're not Semitic people. The Semitic people are the damn Palestinians. The so-called
really?
Middle East.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They have these terms.
Well, don't,
when you look up what a
don't they come
Semite
from the same
is,
area?
They only well the Semites are in the so-called Middle East. They're not from they're not from Europe. They didn't. There was no such thing as anti-Semitic until there was no such thing as anti-Semitic until the European Jews were awarded Israel. Then it became you're anti-Semitic, but they're not Semitic people. The Palestinians are Semitic people. The Arabs are Semitic people. The Semites are somewhere between black and white, more like Iraqis, Afghans, you know, those types.
Yeah.
So-called Middle Easterners. The white Jews with the yarmulkes and they're not Semitic people. They're not.
Mm.
Cut and dry. Shoot, and the Hasidic Jews aren't aligned with the rest of the Jews.
That's the difference between the Jews and the Zionists. And by the way, Go, looking this thing up, I think mainstream media is censoring Google because the first seven websites
they do all the time
are talking about there's no such thing as Irish or slaves.
that's because there's no such thing as Irish slaves. God damn it.
The first seven sites. I finally found a site that's admitting that the Irish were sold to slaves. I'm looking at it now, but you don't have time. I tell you what, if you go to the show tonight, I think I gave you the number. It's called Beyond the Mainstream. Everybody there believes that power, money, and greed is what powers the United States. And even though they're all conservatives, except for me, you would enjoy it. Hey, shit, that's not showing up. What the hell's going on here?
Big brother's watching. That's what's going on. Tell your white brothers and sisters to help you out and stop abandoning you when you're in the hot seat.
Well, thank you, Joe, for that advice.
All right, man. We got to get out of here. I appreciate you.
All right. Look, hey, you be safe, all right? Until next time. Enjoy the weekend.
You're all right.
Oh, thank you. I don't hate you either, Go. Thanks.
I know.
All right. All right. I talk to you, man.
All right. Oh, boy.
All right, y'all. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. June 25th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Joanne McChristen Jones. Happy birthday to you. And also, Minetta McIntyre, turning 49 years old today. No relation, but what up, cuz? What's going on? And also, excuse me, Santa Cooper. Santa Cooper turning 36 years old today. And Rodriguez Maria Ureña, turning 29 years old today. And also, Sakia Brown, turning 39 years old today. And my girl, Connie Greer, happy birthday to you. And my girl going all the way back to the 1991, Dania Carter, turning 51 years old today. And last but not least, going all the way back to the 1984, my girl, Tina Denard. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. June 25th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud, just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on and do the damn, rock out, rock on and do the damn, rock out, rock on and do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all, represent the queens and kings, and do your thing, y'all, represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for y'all, and remember. You know what? First of all, I want to thank y'all for coming through to this show, especially when we're dealing with the hard material, when we're dealing with a lot of the emotionally charged, however you choose to look at it. When we're searching for a certain brand of truth, it can look like something and sound like something else, and this is one of the ways where we get from the Black Lives Matter to the All Lives Matter thing, because it starts sounding like something that we don't want to be a part of, but that we're already deeply ingrained in, and it can separate us on many levels. So I want to thank y'all for sticking this out, even through the conversation with Joe and all that kind of stuff, because it can sound like a certain thing. That's why I understood what he was saying when he said, like, it sounds like you don't like white people anymore. Now, y'all know what my response to that would have normally have been. Like, what you mean anymore? But anyway, listen to this. Like I said, I want to thank y'all for coming through, and I want to thank y'all for sticking it out. Please hit that like button. Please share the show if you haven't shared the show yet. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. We will be back tomorrow for another Urban Therapy with Sun Show, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure y'all come on through, and we'll have some fun. Just me and all the gang learning from each other while we do our thing. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. So Blog Talk, let me get you out of here.